This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahi walhamdulillahi wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. My beloved brothers and sisters, there was a time at the beginning where the Muslims were persecuted in Makkatul Mukarrama only because they said La ilaha illallah. There is none worthy of worship besides Allah. When they declared that they were no longer belonging to the faith of their forefathers, their own families persecuted them. To this day, anyone who declares the Shahada or declares that they are Muslim, many times you find that family members or relatives or friends or communities not only cut them off, but actually make their lives a misery. So if you go back to the beginning, it is a test of faith always, where when you are gifted something by Allah Almighty, He will test you to see, are you genuine or not? My brothers and sisters, when you face some persecution in the name of your faith, and you know that you are upright, you know that you are trying to do the right thing, do not allow that persecution to distance you from Allah, number one. In fact, it should bring you closer to Allah because it is the promise of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Do people really think that as soon as they declare their faith in Allah and they believe that they will not be persecuted? Do people really think that they will be left alone simply because they said our Lord is Allah? When Allah says, we have tested those before them as well in order to distinguish who is truthful in their faith and who is not. So if you are truthful, you will bear something. It's okay. They will say things. They will do things. Give it a bit of time. Number one, do not allow it to distance you from your Maker. If anything, it should bring you closer. Number two, learn more and more about the goodness of your faith. Learn how to respond to the naysayers, because when they begin to say things about Islam, a lot of the times there are similar things that they want to try to use in order to make you sway. They will speak about the marriage of Muhammad, peace be upon him, to Aisha radiallahu anha. They bring up that age issue, whereas it was never ever an issue to be mentioned at the time of the Prophet, peace be upon him, even by the biggest of his enemies, who were literally looking for any excuse to discredit him. They never ever brought up his marriage to Aisha. But 1400 years later, people want to bring up, oh, how old was Aisha? I promise you, my brothers and sisters, Allah is never going to make it a prerequisite of your entry into paradise that you needed to have known how old Aisha was, radiallahu anha. He's not going to ask you, how old was Aisha, before you go to paradise? And then you answer the question. That's not even part of the daruriyat, something that you needed to have known, etc. It is something that they bring out. Yet the enemies who brought everything possible out didn't even consider that an issue. May Allah Almighty grant us ease. Similarly, they bring up several other issues. All of them are quite similar. They tell you, how could you believe that there is a man who went up to the heavens in an animal that had wings? And so, wallahi, we believe. The same way I believe that there is a small piece of skin through which you can see crystal clear. To be honest with you, I'm looking at you right now. That is a miracle. That is bigger than anything that you can think about. Subhanallah. And what happened? Who placed that little piece of lens inside your eye that can see at a megapixel beyond any Is it not Allah? The same Allah causes so many other miracles in your own body. When you consume something, how does it digest? The digestive system alone is a miracle. Allah says, وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. In your own selves, do you not see the signs of Allah? How does your digestive system work? How do you work? How does the body process proteins and fats and sugars and everything and put it one side and the other side? Everything happens. And what do? You just eat it and say, that tasted quite nice. MashaAllah, right? And you don't even know. The rest of it is done by the Maker, the Lord of the worlds. And you sleep at night without even thanking Him for having given you a digestive system to begin with. Allahu Akbar. So anyway, let it strengthen you in your faith, number one. Number two, you need to realize, bear sabr, bear a little bit of patience in the name of your Lord, in the name of your faith. You need to bear some form, endure it a little bit. Do not respond in a way that makes matters worse. Sometimes people say things to Muslims, and it happens a lot. They have already a preconceived idea in their minds. They have been lied to, unfortunately, in their churches and places of worship by people who either did it intentionally so that their followers never know the truth of Islam. And I've heard this so many times where people who belong to other faiths come to you and say, but I believe you Muslims, when you die, you happen to put a pipe down the intestines of the person and then you gather the water and make rice out of it and feed people after 3 days and 40 days. It's laughable to you and me. Wallahi, there are large numbers of people who actually think we do that. And they say, don't you go into a small little place where you have a hose pipe afterwards and only 2-3 people are allowed with the body of the deceased? My brother, my sister, all we do is offer them an honorable bathing to wash them the way they used to wash themselves when they were alive, in order to send them off in the cleanest and purest possible way. That's all that happens. But you know what? The lies is caught up with at a point. You bear patience. Do not respond with a swear word. Do not respond with arrogance. You need to remember you're a Muslim. You are surrendering to Allah. Allah is in control of your life and theirs. Allah will bring them forth. The enemies are actually only people who are not yet Muslim. That's all. You see someone laughing at you, tell yourself, this guy is not yet Muslim. Yesterday, someone sent me a clip of a person, not a Muslim at all. He arrives in Makkatul Mukarram in Ihram, and he decides to say, we have conquered Islam. I've arrived here. They said I would never arrive here. No one said you would never arrive. My brother, you arrived there in Ihram, pretending to be a Muslim, in the midst of millions of Muslims. You had to slyly take your video to say, I am here. I promise you, the place will bring you towards guidance by the help of Allah. The Almighty will guide you. And I know for a fact that if a person messes with the deen of Allah, one of two things happen to them. Either through that, they begin to question and they begin to see the light. Because some of the biggest enemies of Islam actually turned to Islam. Allah is the one who turns the hearts. So don't lose hope. When you see them, say, Allahumma hdihi lil Islam. That's a sunnah of the Prophet, peace be upon him. So either they are guided to Islam or they are taken care of by Allah in one way or another. For you and I, when we respond to such people, do it in a dignified manner which makes them think. If only they have a mind. And sometimes people don't have that mind. Khalid ibn al-Walid ibn al-Mughira radiallahu anhuma, when he came to Medina Munawwara, just prior to that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ma mithlu Khalidin yajhalu al-Islama." A man like Khalid cannot be ignorant of the correctness and uprightness of Islam. Allah will bring him because he's intelligent. When you are really and truly intelligent, you look into the faith, you look into what they are saying, you get it from the horse's mouth, you look at the Muslims, you find out and so on, and then you come forth. But a person who is not intelligent enough or does not want the guidance will keep on spewing and saying and doing. And Allah Almighty, like I said, does one of two things with such people. But my brothers and sisters, remember something. For you and I, guidance is actually a gift of Allah. Continue to thank Allah that you are rightly guided. That's why every day in every unit of prayer, we say, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, guide us to the straight path. I say it again and again. And even though we believe we are rightly guided, but we want Allah to guide us correctly and to keep us on the path, we appreciate it. We are prepared to sacrifice for this path that we are upon. If you're not prepared to sacrifice, then how on earth are you a follower of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whom him and his companions sacrificed everything in order for the deen of Allah to get to you today? The people who took part in the battle of Badr were 313. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, oh Allah, if you would like to be worshipped on earth, grant us victory. Here are the 313 of us. And Allah granted them victory. And what happened is it spread from there. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ says, those people who were his companions, be careful what you say about them. Because they sacrificed. That's why the deen is here today. What are you prepared to sacrifice? What am I prepared to sacrifice? A little laughing at you. People calling you names. Someone on the street saying something of your hijab. Someone talking about the way you look. Someone mentioning the fact that you are a Muslim and this is like this. And how can you be a Muslim in the 21st century when you know how educated we are? I tell you, the most highly educated are turning to Islam. I want to give you good news. Islam is growing faster than you can imagine, because Allah Almighty is the Lord. He alone deserves to be worshipped. Now, in the process, my brothers and sisters, at that time when they were persecuted, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, decided that some of these companions, they need to go somewhere. We cannot just sit here and be bashed for so long without being able to even pray, without being able to do the basics. You can't uphold your own basics of faith. How on earth are you going to survive here? So the Prophet ﷺ, by the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, chose and he said to his companions, go to Abyssinia. That was the first hijrah. Migrate. So these were migrants. Where did they go? They went to Abyssinia. When they went to Abyssinia, what happened? They were taken care of by the Christians there. Who were they? Najashi and his people. How did they treat the Muslims? Wallahi, in 10 years, there were no complaints. In 10 years, no complaints. There was justice on the land. So much so that some of them accepted Islam. The Quran speaks about the Negus himself, Ashama, accepting the deen of Allah. Allah speaks about how when he heard the verses of the Quran, he cried. These were migrants or immigrants or whatever you'd like to call them. We don't want to use the term refugee, because in today's language, a refugee is supposed to be a person who is temporarily here. Some people consider that term such that it is cheap. Yet, to be honest, it's a dignified human being. What happened to them could have happened to you and can still happen to you. If people shifted from one place to another for whatever valid reason that they have, remember something, your duty and mine, to treat them with utmost respect. If the Muslims arrived in Abyssinia and were treated by the Christians in an upright way, why is it that when we find Muslim migrants coming to our lands from wherever they are, we do not even treat them the way the Christians treated the Muslims at that time, but rather we treat them in a very low way, as though, what is this man doing here? Look at these guys, they are flooding the place. Not at all. It's your test. Ardullahi wasi'a. This earth belongs to Allah, not to you. You respect them, you honor them, you give them dignity, you offer them something equal in terms of rights that you have. And this is why there is something else that happened. And I will, inshallah, speak about this for a few minutes before I end. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, years later, when they were persecuted in Makkah so much, he chose, by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to go to Medina Munawwara. What was that? That was another hijrah. It was another migration. It was the major migration known as the hijrah. Although the first one was another one. This time they were going to people who were not the Christians of Abyssinia, but rather they were made up of various denominations. Among them there were the mushriks. Among them there were Ahlul Kitab, the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, in stages, within a few months, sent all the Muslims there. there was a massive influx of people belonging to a totally different faith coming into Medina Munawwara by the invitation of some of them who had already turned to Islam and they were in positions of leadership. What happened? Wallahi, my brothers and sisters, from among them, they were already Muslims because of Mus'ab ibn Umayr radiallahu anhu, who was sent to Medina Munawwara slightly earlier in order to teach them the deen, and many of them accepted. Every one of those who entered the faith of Islam agreed to the instruction of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, which I want you to think about for a minute. What was the instruction? Every family, take in one family from those who are coming in. I want you to think about it. Why? Today, we cannot share with our own brothers and sisters of blood. We cannot share with our own uncles and aunts. We don't want to share with our own family members. When someone comes from a distant land and he comes here, that's too far. Where's the Islam? Where's the Muslim in you? Where's the history of Islam? What did you learn from that? Akha an-Nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bayn al-Muhajirin wal-Ansar. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fostered a relationship of brotherhood between the Muhajirin and Ansar in the initial stages. Look, take them in. What should we do? Share with them whatever you have. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. You know, sharing what you have with a stranger who just belongs to your faith is one teaching of Islam. And guess what? Today, I'm not talking about sharing what you have. The right of another person whom you owe something to, you don't want to give them. How's that? How's that? Subhanallah. Look where we've become. So this talk today is just to encourage us to say, let's go back and look at what happened, where we're supposed to be, where we have come. Today they say World Refugee Day. There's a World Refugee Day in June somewhere. We don't want to use the refugee term. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam solved the problem. One took one. We are not saying take one. Respect them. Serve them. Look after them. Be happy Allah saved you. Don't worry. You have come to your brothers here. You have come to your sisters here. We will serve you. We will look after you. In no time, they will be above you in a lot of things. Today, we don't want anyone to grow above us. A man opens a business similar to ours across the road. It's we can't sleep. We've got depression and stress and anxiety and everything else. And we're swearing this person. Who told you he doesn't have a right to do that? Allahu Akbar. Who told you that? But it's the weakness of faith. It's the weakness of faith. My brothers and sisters, they, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the Prophet, peace be upon him, says, لَا تَسُبُّوا أَصْحَابِي فَوَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَوْ أَنْفَقَ أَحَدُكُمْ مِثْلَ أُحُودٍ ذَهَبَ مَا بَلَغَ مُدَّ أَحَدِهِمْ وَلَا نَصِيفَهُ. Don't ever, you dare, speak bad about any of my companions, because if you were to spend Mount Uhud full of gold, it wouldn't even equate to a handful or half a handful that they spent in the cause. Do you know what they did? They did the real thing. Here we are talking. We are living literally comfy, as we would say. Prepared to share? No, I'm not. Prepared to give the rights of someone to them? No, I'm not. So then what? Where are you? Shouldn't we be talking about it from the pulpit? My brothers and sisters, remember, anyone who has left their lands and come, whether it is to our lands where we are or any other place, pray for them, number one. Number two, reach out to them. Try and find out what are their needs. This is a Muslim. Welcome them, greet them, talk to them, make them feel at home. I tell you why. If you look at yourself, perhaps somewhere up the ladder, you, your parents, your forefathers, somewhere was in a similar situation. They were also migrants. I laugh when I sit and think of people who perhaps came from the subcontinent or wherever it might have been two generations back. They look at someone who came in recently, they say, you see these freshies? What's the terminology? Why are you burning? Wasn't your father or forefather a freshie just like this? Just because you were born here does not mean you're any different from these people. It doesn't. So this type of terminology we need to talk about, take it out. Perhaps we're all guilty of saying sometimes things that are derogatory to these people. Perhaps we need to wake up, stop using those terms. Never mind, welcome them. Who knows, perhaps your children may intermarry with theirs. What will happen then? You become family, but yesterday you were calling them IPs or freshies, whatever it might have been. It's terminology that's being used. I believe it's derogatory. We need to talk about it. Look at the Muhajirin and Ansar. Whatever brought those people from wherever they were to wherever you are does not make you any better than them. Remember that. If Allah wanted, you and your forefathers would not have been here. And I'm speaking internationally, wherever you are, not just about this country. Let's learn to welcome people. A few generations back, we were in a similar situation. If people did not take care of us and welcome us and perhaps help us in whatever way, who knows where we would have been. So my brothers and sisters, may Allah Almighty grant us ease and goodness. I've mentioned a few pointers here. I hope we can take lesson firstly for myself. May Allah help me to improve, and may Allah help me to become more conscious of how we treat people who come from far off lands. We see them around, whether they've come for business, whatever. My brother, my sister, you are more than welcome. You are my brother, and inshallah we will help you to the best of our ability. You are welcome here, and this is your place as much as it is mine. And may Allah Almighty bless all of us as an ummah. May Allah help us to care for one another. Aqulu qawli hadha wa sallallahu wa sallama ala nabina Muhammad.